Hi, everyone. Welcome to the From Stress to Bliss Summit. And I'm so excited today to have Steve on the line. Is it Steve Ozanich?
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce your last name? Okay. I want to say it correctly. I'm welcome to the call.
Well, thanks for the chance to spread this good message.
Okay. And the good message that he's talking about, and this is a little different take on with stress than we've been talking about. And this call is going to be a special call. It's going to be 1 hour. The other ones are all 30 minutes. Just want to let you know ahead of time. This is going to be a little bit longer because there is so much more to this topic, and it's about pain. And because pain can cause a lot of stress, when we're not in pain, and other health issues can cause a lot of stress when we don't feel well. So just a little bit about Steve. He's a mind-body health consultant. He's penned The Great Pain Deception based on his own experience, the work of John Sarno. He's an MD, and he has 10 years of intensive research. And over the years, Steve has helped to teach thousands of people how to heal themselves. He earned 3 degrees from Youngstown State University, AAS, BSAS, and MBA, with 4 consecutive Distinguished Student Awards from the Williamson School of Business. That's cool. In addition to being a mind-body health consultant and coach, the Ohio-based Ozanich is a health blogger with Jennings Wire, on the panel of experts for Viva Magazine, a health lecturer, certified personal fitness trainer, acoustic guitar player, and golf swing coach. Oh, I could use some of that golf swing coaching. So welcome, Steve, and we're so happy to have you on. And I learned about you through somebody else, and that's why I ended up connecting with you. And she had back pain, and she was having a hard time, and on the literally on the floor one day, she said, crying, and she just didn't know what she was going to do, and she talked to you, and her pain is gone. So I think people might be interested in hearing a little more about what that is. So can you tell us about this whole connection with pain and the mind? And
sure. And that's the best place to start. That was a perfect segue, starting with the back. Because the work that I'm doing is based on Dr. Sarno's work, as you said in that intro. And the heart of his work began with back pain. He solved that back pain mystery in the 1970s. And a lot of the reason that you don't know about him or may have not heard about Dr. Sarno is that, you know, people resist the message. But he solved the back pain problem. And I myself was in severe back pain for 30 years. And in the 1990s, I had hit rock bottom, and I lost 50 pounds and was crawling around the floor, and I was weeks away from surgery. And, of course, they were telling me I had, you know, herniated discs, a degenerated spine, arthritis in there. It was crooked. It was too weak. And I had bought into that notion, and the most of the world has. But Dr. Sarno solved that problem when he began talking to his patients. And they began to heal because the pain itself is coming from an oxygen flow problem from the autonomic nervous system, not from the spinal structure itself. And, of course, the industry itself focuses on trying to fix the spine, you know, try to adjust it and manipulate it into good health and try to surgically operate it into good health, inject it with steroids. Physical therapy, acupuncture, all of these things are not solving the problem, which is why the National Institutes of Health just this spring announced that back pain is the number one disability in the world.
Wow.
We have the most advanced medical techniques of all time in the history of humankind. And yet the epidemics are worsening every year. Back pain, hand pain, shoulder pain, foot pain, it's getting worse because they're looking to solve the pain problem through healing and engineering the body from the outside with therapeutic techniques. And Dr. Sarno proved clinically through his 50-year career, he practiced medicine for 5 decades at the New York University Medical Center. He proved that the spine's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It is an emotional problem. You know, and I don't want to say problem. It is an emotional process is a better way. Because everybody in the world has TMS. Everybody listening to this has it to some degree. It's part of the human condition. It's part of being human. Now, some people may just get an occasional heartburn or maybe a skin problem or a rash, or they may have an allergy to a certain, you know, food or plant. But that's all part of this mind-body process. And so he became one of the greatest doctors that has ever lived because of this great discovery on TMS. In fact, a couple years ago, Forbes magazine did two articles on him, actually. And the title of it was America's Best Doctor. And he truly is. But if you haven't heard of him, it's the exact same reason that the epidemics are worsening. Because a lot of people don't want to hear it and believe it. And I was one of those. I actually rejected this at first. I thought he was insane. And yet, I healed after 3 decades, and I spent 10 years writing that book that you mentioned, The Great Pain Deception. And now for 15 years, I've been consulting and helping people heal, and they virtually all heal from basically everything that they have health-wise when they reject the notion that there's something wrong with their body, and they accept the notion that this is happening outside of their awareness to protect them. So we can get more into TMS if you want and what actually was happening there, but that's the overall view.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great because it's true. We think it's, you know, we bent over and, you know, we were gardening too much and so our back hurts or, you know, maybe we slept bad, but it's, like you said, it's your body's way of taking your mind from that emotional
right, yeah.
pain and bringing it into the other pain. So, yeah, tell us more. How in-depth that? That's a huge
Yeah, that's a good point,
topic.
Too, you know, like sleeping.
Yeah.
You can't sleep wrong. I remember when Tiger Woods said that, he said, I slept awkwardly on my private jet. They just don't make private jets like they used to. I watched him say that on a Jay Leno show. And people laugh, you know. Oh, yeah, he was being facetious about it. But,
okay.
You know, he actually meant that he slept wrong. And I used to think that, too. The human body is nowhere near that weak. We are not that weak. We would have never survived. We would have never evolved. For 30 years, I slept on these rock-hard mattresses because the doctors told me, oh, the soft mattress is killing you. But it's those words, those admonitions, don't do this, don't do that, be careful of this, be careful of that, that are causing all the problems. We are strong. And so Dr. Sarno comes along and he says, listen, the human body's strong. You know, if it's not healing, and if the condition is chronic, something's causing it to be chronic. And every time we go to scientifically fix it, inject it, stab it, cut it, drug it, we add to the problem. Because that's exactly what your brain hopes you'll do. Because the brain is actually diverting all the things you don't want to think about in your life. All of these unconscious emotions. Remember, unconscious means you're not aware of them. So if you think, oh, I feel these, well, it has nothing to do with this symptom if you feel it. These are things that you're not aware of. So the brain is trying to help you. It's trying to help you cope through your day. It's trying to help you make everybody in your life happy, get everybody to where they need to be, do all of your duties and responsibilities. And in doing so, this is a deeply enraging thing to us, all of these demands that are made on us throughout the whole day. But we're totally unaware of it because we're good people. We want to do a good job. We want to be good fathers and husbands and sons and wives and all those things. And so suddenly we're not aware of all these demands, how enraging they are to us, and bam, a symptom comes along. And it can be anything from irritable bowel syndrome to bladder pain to pudendal neuralgia, iliotibial band syndrome, plantar fasciitis, carpal tunnel, you name it. They make up these archaic techno terms, and it's just the same thing. It's TMS. And the proof is that this is right, is that they all heal once they realize it. They all heal, you know. And some of them heal just by reading the information on TMS, by acquiring the information and understanding it. A small percentage do, which blew him away originally. He said, I was mystified by the fact that some of the patients were healing right in front of him when he was explaining to them what was going on in their body. And the explanation for that, of course, is that the brain's trying a covert action on you to get you to think that something's wrong with your body, to get you worried, to divert your mind from all these other things you don't want to think about. And so once you're told that your brain's fooling you, it's diverting your attention, it no longer works. You know, the ruse doesn't work anymore. You're on to it. But the large majority of them, they need to do a lot more soul searching, you know, probably 60% more. They need to search and say, hey, you know, my life is not where I want it to be. You know, I want a more loving partner, and I want a more fulfilling career, and I want more me time. I want to express myself better instead of working for everybody else. And so it becomes more complex because the human is involved, you know, the human brain. And so there is no easy cookie cutter answers to say, do this, this, and this, and this, and all of your health problems fade. It's a very complex topic, which is why, of course, you know, you extended this interview. You know, mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot more than 1 hour or two, but, you know, it took me quite a while to heal. And I had to change. Of course, you have to change. Nothing grows unless it changes. And it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done because these people are healing from all kinds of wild things, and it is just so fun. So I'm very glad that you invited me to talk.
Yeah. And what a rewarding thing to be able to, you know, to do, to be able to help people get through pain or other problems. And, you know, it makes me think of I had major bloating problems for like 20 years. It is just really severe. And then I had a friend who's like, no, you know, that's from stress. That's from stress. And so, you know, I tried to, you know, do things to work on the inside, you know, emotionally, and I saw it was getting better. And I still wasn't sure, you know, all the whole connection. And all of a sudden I got a phone call one day from somebody. The phone rang, and somebody that caused me a lot of stress. And I saw the number, and she was here at my house. And I was, you know, feeling good that day. And I, within, like, honest to God, like 2 seconds, my stomach went, woof. And I looked at her, and I pointed. I go, oh, my God, look.
Right.
It was like instantaneous, and I was like, whoa, I mean, that was an eye-opener for me to see
it's that direct.
How our minds affect our body.
It's that powerful and that direct.
Oh, gosh.
You know, a heart attack is a TMS event, too. I mean, if the anger rises in these people, type A people are the angriest, and when it rises quickly, bam, you know, the brain will close down those blood vessels carrying blood and oxygen to the heart and, bam, damage it. And that's basically where back pain's coming from, and knee pain, hand pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, you name it. The brain reduces the blood flow just very slightly to these areas, which reduces the oxygen to the nerve. And when the nerve doesn't get oxygen, it creates the most crippling pain that you can imagine. He was at the Rusk Center, which was one of the big, you know, outpatient centers in the world in New York. And as the head of it, he was invited in right out of college. And he said in his books that it was TMS was the most painful thing he'd ever seen in clinical medicine. That tells you how bad it can create. And that's why a lot of people think, well, it has to be musculoskeletal. It has to be structural and physical. But no, it's just not getting oxygen. That's all. But and then you go to the doctor, and the doctor makes it much worse by saying, oh, yeah, there's the problem. Because we have this amazing ability to look into the human body with all of this new science. You know, with MRIs, we can look at all of these little changes, but everybody has them. Every human being has all of these changes within the spine and the back and the shoulders and the knees, arthritis, and the pain still goes away, even though they're there. Now, I've been pain-free for 15 years now, or about 13, 14, I'm not quite sure anymore, but my back has to look a hell of a lot worse than it did back then, as I've aged year after year after year, and yet there's no pain. And so the understanding and the learning and the changing helped heal. And bloating is one of the things, one of the infinite things that the brain can do. I've seen it a lot. You know, numbness, tingling, coldness, electrical snapping, Fibromyalgia, of course, is an emotional event, but people just don't want to hear it. And so in his great career, he discovered many things. And yet he was a controversial figure for some reason. It's because people didn't want to believe it. They do not want to hear it. They demand that something's wrong with their body. And of course, this is another genius of his. Why? He figured out why. Why don't they believe it? It's because by the brain diverting your attention to your body, it's protecting you. There's a shield there. It's protecting you from things that are painful, from sides of yourself you do not even want to see, the shadow side of yourself. And so, of course, you don't want to remove that protective barrier. You remove that, and you've got these raw emotions there that you're trying like hell to avoid. And so, of course, when someone goes to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, that knee's got some tears in it, let's scope it out. They'll say, yeah, my doctor found it. There it is. There it is. You know, let's scope it out. They want to believe something's wrong. And sometimes it works. Sometimes the surgeries work because of the placebo. And from my work, that is the most problematic thing in all of our understanding of our health problems is the placebo response. Because when something works, like a surgery or an injection or a spinal manipulation or whatever it is, that person thinks, well, I did indeed have a body problem because that fixed it. But they don't realize the power of the mind, which you just stated. You know, you saw it directly when this person came over. You know, and I, you know, my lifting partner, he wasn't too sure about what I was doing. I don't know, that sounds crazy. And then he came in one day to lift with me. He goes, you know what? I think I'm getting what you're saying. My boss just came to me and told me I had to do something I did not want to do, and my shoulder began to hurt so bad I couldn't raise my arm. Now, had he not known me, he would have gone to the doctor, and the doctor would have said, you have a rotator cuff problem. And they would go in, and they would have scoped it out, and that's exactly what the brain's hoping for. And so there's epidemics everywhere that he has solved. You know, and the tough part is in the messaging. A lot of people don't want to hear it. You know, especially the industry, of course. Well, right? That makes sense. I mean, that's their livelihood.
Right.
He used to laugh. You know, he said they won't pay attention to it because you know, it's a multi-trillion-dollar industry.
Yes, huge.
It's a monster that can't be overcome. So really, it's up to each individual person to say, "Listen, I've tried everything. Nothing's working. I'm going to look into this TMS process." And the first step, of course, I have to tell everybody, anybody that's listening to this, the first step is always get a physical exam. We want to make sure that there's nothing dangerous there, that your life's in danger. And that's always a possibility. You know, I've had people with back pain that had tumors there, and I've had them with aneurysms. Sometimes people have an infection there or something in the hip. You know, so you have to look at that and make sure, okay, am I safe? Now, once you've cleared by your doctor and your doctor says, no, you're out of danger, then look into it. And the first step there is to buy the books and read them because you're going to heal yourself through learning.
Yeah. And your book is called The Great Pain Deception.
Yeah, that's the main title. The subtitle is Faulty Medical Advice is Making Us Worse. And I can give you one example. I just generally explained it there by saying, you know, the brain is hoping you run to your doctor, and your doctor, they're hoping your doctor tells you something's wrong with your body because there's an answer to the person. Oh, there's finally an answer. Look, you know, I hear insane things like doctors telling people with foot pain, your ligament's too tight. Let's get in and cut that and loosen it up. You know, things like that are happening every day, but it's just the brain reducing the oxygen flow there. It's causing this tremendous pain. But I'll give you one good example. The physician who wrote the foreword for that book, Dr. Sofer, he's one of the top TMS physicians in the world, trained by Dr. Sarno. And he had a guy brought into his office that couldn't walk, sit, or stand without pain.
Gosh.
And he said they laid him on my carpet in the waiting room. The people laid him there, rolled him out, and left. He said, I came out, and he was laying there. He said, I was looking at his charts, and he said he could see the guy had TMS. The guy was scheduled the next week to have a morphine pump implanted into his spine. Okay, and he looked at the charts, and he said, listen, you've got TMS. There's nothing wrong with your body. And the guy said, well, I can't walk. I can't move. I can't stand. He said, listen, trust me on this. you've got TMS. This is an unconscious thing going on. It has locked you up in this pain. The guy listened. 3 weeks later, the guy was moving again, moving better without pain, and 3 months later, he was healed. Now, had he gone to the other doctor and got the pump inserted, he would have fought this for life. On and on. So the faulty medical advice is making us worse. And that's why everywhere you look, people are crippled. In the Healing Back Pain, Dr. Sarno's book, he said they have created a nation of the partially disabled, which is true. I see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're limping. They're holding one thing. They're walking with crutches. You know, we're healthier than that. You know, and, you know, I do need to say this, too. There are some weird things that happen that need, you know, doctors. There it is. This is not an anti-doctor message. It may sound like it. It may sound like it, but it's not. I believe in science, you know, and we need good doctors. We do. I mean, they've done some amazing things with transplants, you know, increasing the quality of life in people. We need that. What I'm talking about is the other majority of medicine. The majority of what's going on, when you go to your regular doctor and boom, they blame everything on the body. And so how the science is used is what makes the difference, makes a massive amount of difference. It's causing the problems, you know, that double-edged sword. On one edge it's helping, on the other edge it's really cutting too deep. And so the first thing after you gather the information, you have to reject all those things. Everything you're doing, you have to stop doing it. Stop going to therapy, you know. Stop this and that. But I have to also say, for liability purposes, never stop taking medication ever without your doctor knowing it, because only the doctor knows why you're on that medication and how long it takes to get on it and off of it, you know. And so you have to work with that person. Never just stop. But the other things you can, you know, physical therapies and acupunctures and chiropractic and that. And I have chiropractors come up to me all the time saying, you know, you're exactly right. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with these people's spines. There's nothing wrong with it. They are suffering from personal problems, which we can get into that, too, if you want to.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. So really, the problem that you have, your subconscious or unconscious mind may not be aware of all the emotions, or you're not aware of all the emotions that are really inside of you, and so your body diverts it into pain or some other health problems based on not supplying enough oxygen to that area of the body. Am I summarizing that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main reasons, of course, is that people don't want to believe it, is that, you know, as I said a minute ago, it's protecting you, right? And so if you're getting a divorce, which I see all the time, people getting divorces, their health problems begin because it's a separation. And this symptom pops up, and they're just so enraged about this, and that they go to a doctor with foot pain or back pain. It doesn't matter where it's at. And they want to blame the body. That way that defense mechanism can stay in place and protect them from the unthinkable, really. And one of the other reasons that they don't want to believe it is that it's unconscious. We generally, as people, we do not believe what we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I told Dr. Sarno, I would have never healed with just your books had you not put the examples of all the people that were healing in there. And now, of course, there are so many people healing with his books. There are millions around the world healing with his books, and so many famous people, you know, famous Olympians, professional athletes, U.S. secretaries of state, congressmen, that they're doing a film about him called All the Rage. And it's going to be pretty cool, you know. And so as we popularize his work, more and more people are healing, and their websites and popping up everywhere based on his work, and dozens of books coming out. But it's unconscious. Awesome. I know that was your point.
Yeah.
We are not aware. We are not aware of them, you know. And I went through life completely unaware of 30 years that it was even there. And that is a personality thing, which is where he really sold me, was on the personality of the person.
So tell us a little bit about that, because I'm – you know, everybody has a little different type of personality. I'm one of these people. I've been told that I'm too nice.
Yeah,
so.
Right. And of course, you know, nothing is absolute. And personality characteristics can cross in and out and intertwine, and everybody has a little bit of this and that. And but he began to describe generally the patients that were coming in to see him, and that's when I noticed, hey, I'm on this list. You know, he kept using this word perfectionist, and I kept thinking, wow, that's me.
That's me. You know, I can relate to that, too.
Yeah, I'm detail-oriented, you know, but I still didn't connect that that was enraging me because you don't feel it. It's unconscious. You know,
yeah.
Perfectionists go around angry all day and have no idea that they are. And when he said that, it rocked my world. I had an architect had contacted me telling me, he said, you know, when I opened your book, Steve, I read that, you know, about perfectionists are angry, they don't know it. He said a tear formed in his eye and it fell onto the page and splattered onto the page. And he said, I can't remember crying ever as an adult. And he healed after reading the book. And he said he saw that as his brain unthawing, which I thought was a really cool.
Thawing out from,
yeah. he had frozen his emotions his whole life to be a dutiful person, to do right, to be good. And so when you get into this personality, you know, Dr. Sarno said they're good people. They try to do good. They try to keep people happy. They're usually a little anxious and worriers. They have poor self-esteem. and you know, he nailed it there, but he said it wasn't the perfectionism alone that was causing all of this anger and, you know, this stress on the mind. It was the combination of it coupled with the low self-esteem. And I thought that was another great observation of his. Because think about this, the person is trying to do good, trying to do everything perfectly, and they don't think they're any good. They don't even like themselves. And so, of course, the reason you're becoming a perfectionist is to never get rejected. If I do everything perfectly, then I can't be criticized or rejected, but sadly, it doesn't work that way.
No.
You know, they use people who try harder and good to people. They're used, and it enrages them even more. You know, the person who screws up gets off. You know, there's more demands even piled on the person that are doing well, more responsibilities. And so it's better to become yourself than something other, which gets even into the next philosophical realm of it all, is that these people are not who they are pretending to be. That's generally what it comes down to. They're trying to make everybody else around them happy. The person that they are, the person that we are created by our outer world, not by us. In other words, if somebody criticizes us, we won't go that way. We'll correct that. And if we get praised over here, all right, I'll do more of that. So, you know, we're this thing that's being morphed and molded our whole lives. The outer world created this thing that Freud called a superego, Jung called a persona. It's this false mask we put onto the world, and it's deeply enraging to put that on every day and to pretend that we're that thing when we're not. And when you look at the great philosophical ideologies throughout time, they're saying the same thing. I studied Ayurvedic science, which is the oldest healing method in the world from India. And it's probably still the best healing method, by the way. One of the most basic tenets of their healing philosophy is that people get disease and they get pain because they can't show their real face to the world. It fits perfectly with what Dr. Sarno was saying, and perfectly with Freud's work on the superego and Jung's work on the persona. And then I also study A Course in Miracles, and I think it's lesson 137 says, you are not who you're pretending to be. And I also study the work of Nisargadatta Maharaj and his work called I Am. And he says in there, he said his life was even transformed when his yogi told him when he was a teenager, you are not who you're pretending to be. So he spent the rest of his life studying that because it's such a huge topic. And I have many hundreds of examples that I can give of people I've worked with. Once they became more of who they are, they healed too. So, you know, this is a complex topic, you know, and we could talk for 7 hours. We still wouldn't scratch the surface. But Dr. Sarno kind of brought this to light for a couple reasons. Medical doctors are not trained in psychology normally. So, you know, even if they did have all this knowledge, you know, that this is going on in the life of a person, they wouldn't know what to do with it. And psychologists have been claiming this for years, you know, hey, this person's got this because their parents dying or their child's run away from home or whatever. And yet they're not allowed to diagnose medically. So there's this huge gap in there between the psychological and the medical. Dr. Sarno filled that gap because he formed a team at NYU to work with psychologists there, and they worked together. And he admits it many times, you know, openly, we worked as a team to heal these people. They closed that gap between mind and body.
Your mind is really strong and powerful.
No, well, thank you.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I just that's what just
yeah.
popped
yeah,
in
I know.
My mind. Like, wow.
It is. I mean, the mind can
so
heal
powerful.
Us and it can kill us, you know. And,
yeah.
And, yeah. But we're not aware of it because we're pointing to the wrong things. We're pointing to the body as the problem, as a scapegoat, and it's unconscious. So, but you know, he opened up a new world. He opened up Pandora's box, if you will, and I can say personally, I've seen at least 10,000 people heal. You know, I mean, I haven't stood there and watched them, but I've gotten emails and phone calls, and people have walked up to me and told me over the last 15 years. And the doctors, he trained a couple dozen doctors in various fields, from immunology to pediatrics to general practitioners to rheumatologists, and they're all seeing his work greatly successful in their lives. And psychiatrists that he helped heal have dedicated their psychiatric careers to TMS. And so this message is spreading all around the world thanks to technology, you know, and Skype and things like that, and websites. And I'm honored to be part of that message. I really am. And once again, I want to thank you for the invite to be able to tell people.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks for coming on and helping to get this message out for people, because I know there's a lot of people on the phone. Well, probably everybody on the phone has something, you know, whether
yes.
it's even allergies or, you know, digestive
yes.
problems and whatever.
Hearing problems, arthritis. Vision problems, dizziness. You know, you can run them off forever. That the brain has carte blanche to do anything, like bloating, you know, skin problems, skin rashes, sleeplessness. And then you can move outside the body. Now, remember, the brain is wanting you to obsess on your body and worry about something. That's its modus operandi that it has chosen to help you cope through your daily life, to be a responsible person. Now, some people who don't body obsess, they've got other things outside, like they're gamblers, they're alcoholics,
oh,
you know,
sure.
they're prostitutes, they're... whatever it is, whatever is outside you can obsess on, you know, and that list is also infinite, you know, obsession. So the key here is your brain wants you to obsess on the body. And if you're not obsessing on the body, it wants you to obsess on something else, like OCD. And so as long as fear is in the body, fear, we will obsess on something. You know, and of course, fear, everybody has some fear. So if you work on the fear, you immediately reduce your body problems. But it gets complex. It really does. And everybody kind of heals differently through needs different things. But it's usually the unmet needs, and there's a psychological conflict there. And you and I talked earlier about this. You know, it comes from the childhood. That's when the personality forms. Our health is by and large a direct result of our personalities, not our bodies, not our physical bodies. And the personality forms in childhood. And that's from, you know, the relationship with the parents, mainly the mother, and then all subsequent early relationships of people that the child depends on. And so a personality forms. And but there's nothing that can be done about that. You know, that's over. There's no sense in blaming things and people that happen, but from this point, it's just the awareness that this is what's going on. You know, I have the type of personality that's kind of a little bit obsessive, that wants to focus on things, that's driven to drive myself past my inferiorities for reasons that only the ego really knows. And then that this is what's happening. My brain's trying to divert me, and that's usually enough to help people heal. And I get healing emails almost every day, not quite every day, but several times a week from weird things, many, many weird things, you know, from lifetimes of infections. People told me they were cured after they read the book. And skin problems, of course. But it is fun. It is fun. And it is broad. And it's very hard for people to accept it because they usually don't take that much time in their day to go over their health and their life. But hopefully you
right,
and I can help
so
somebody
busy.
Here.
Yeah,
yeah, busy, exactly.
People
yeah,
get
and
so
if you watch,
busy, busy.
Yeah, yeah. If you watch Dr. Sarno on that 2020 show, he did it. John Stossel, the reporter from, he used to be with
I saw that. I watched it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he
had 20 years of back pain. And he said one session with him, and it was gone. And if you remember in that show, he said, I'm embarrassed that I was doing it to myself. Because he had a broken vertebrae in his back, a cracked vertebrae. And it still went away. And the reason is that the body knows how to heal itself. If you bend over and you hurt yourself somehow, which is usually not possible unless your brain needs a diversion at that time, it will heal within days or weeks, or if you really hurt it, months. It will heal. It does not last for years. If your body has an infection, if there's something wrong with your body for year after year, that is not a physical, structural body problem. It is an emotional process driving it outside of your awareness. And Stossel is just one example. You know, Howard Stern's a huge fan of his. He also had, like, decades of pain. It was so bad, he was laying on his back. I saw a picture of him with a microphone taped over his head. He was doing his show from the floor.
Oh, gosh.
Goes in two sessions with Dr. Sarno, gone. Gone. And anybody can go on YouTube and listen to Stern talking about him and Stossel.
I did listen to that, too.
Yeah.
It was
yeah. Well, you know, that all helps us because we don't believe it. People just generally don't believe it. And so I wrote my book, The Great Pain Deception, so people could see as an example, I did it. And if I did it, they can do it. And so I'm serving as an example like these people did for me. And the list is way bigger. Dr. Sarno is a very fantastic man, not just doctor. And he believed in the doctor-client privilege, you know, privacy. And he just wouldn't tell people. They're doing a film on him now, and he will still not tell them the names of all the names of the people that came in because he believes they have a right to privacy. And two of them were U.S. Secretaries of State. And a lot of Olympic athletes, anybody that drives themselves hard in their life to be successful. And even people that haven't driven themselves hard, they still have it to some degree. But and then Larry David, the guy who created Seinfeld, he had a severe pain problem. Of course, he's a self-confessed obsessive person. The character George was created after him on the Seinfeld. And
I didn't realize that. That's my favorite show. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It was the number one show ever. Yeah, that George was created because of him.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, I am an obsessive. And Howard Stern says the same thing. I'm neurotic. I'm obsessive. I think everybody knows that. But Larry went to see him, and he healed. And he said he stood there and cried. He said, it was the closest thing I have ever seen to a spiritual experience. And he stood and cried. Because the doctors are telling people there's something wrong with their body. And then that in itself is enraging. As soon as we're told something's wrong with us, our anger goes through the roof. Because of what I mentioned a little bit.
Yeah, why does this happen?
Yeah, because of fear. I mentioned earlier, it's fear is the driving force in our lives.
Sure.
But
you're afraid you're not going to get better.
Yeah, and I've got to learn how to live. Now it's another problem. Mm-hmm. And that, what else is going to come along and all this. And so, yes, it is a complex topic, and most people don't want to believe it, I would say, but those who do, they virtually all heal. And when I say virtually, that means almost everybody.
Yeah. Where would somebody start?
Yeah. Well, you always got to get that exam, right? Make sure you're okay. No one's ever been hurt by this, by the way, because you have to clear yourself first and make sure you're okay. And then when you start working into it, you know that you don't have anything life-threatening. You can work on this, so you really can't be hurt by it because all you're doing is learning. You're learning.
Yeah.
So you do start with the exam, and then you gather the books, you know. And, of course, I want them to get my book too. But, you know, Dr. Sarno's four books were just groundbreaking. My book pulls all of his work together, all of his books together. And he did endorse my book, which was the greatest honor of my life, because he didn't endorse hardly anything. He just didn't believe in that. He was a medical doctor. He wasn't a marketer. And he just was reticent to talk about certain things, and very quiet man, very Renaissance-like man. But I was honored when he did it, and because he did it so few times. But gather the information. Think about it. Open your mind and your heart up and think about it. What's been going on in my life? And when I consult with people, I can actually take them back to when their symptoms began. What was going on in their life? I can say, now let's connect that. You know, and I'll give you a quick example. A guy walked up to me in a local restaurant, and he said he had back pain. He said, I heard you wrote a book on back pain. I said, yeah. I said, when's your divorce? And he just looked at me shocked. He said, how could you have known that? Nobody knows but my wife and I. I said, well, I was just guessing. You know, there's so many divorces in the country anyway, and that's one of the main reasons. A parent dying, or parents getting divorced, or a fight with somebody. It's always a separation. You know, a baby, some people have lost babies, or their children move away, or children go away to college. Some of the mothers and fathers get pain syndromes. It's something about this separation that deeply enrages us. And so there's a lot of learning to do. That's where you would begin.
Okay, so they can read your book, and then if they want to go further, they can consult with you.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, people who don't are having a little bit of trouble. Matter of fact, everybody that consults with me is stuck. You know, they've read it, they believe it, they need help. I never get people going, hey, I'm perfectly great, let's talk. It's usually, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And so every day I hear these problems. And so I've drawn a great, very clear, big picture of what's going on. Because I talk to people in dozens of countries, and I listen to them, and we're all the same. People in the world are all the same. You know, we want to be good. We're inherently good people. And that was another great observation of Dr. Sarno. You know, he was a very, fairly quiet man. But when he spoke, it was huge. People listened because he was brilliant. And he said at the end of his career, you know, these people are suffering because they're good people. And it's such a simple sentence, and it's so true when you take it all the way back. We want to be good. You know, we want to be loved, and we want to feel safe and secure in our lives. We want to be good, and we think, well, if I try harder, I'll get this love, and I'll get the attention that I need, and all those things. But it just enrages us to be something other. And that's why I mentioned that earlier about being something other than you are. You know, we are good inherently, that we all are that. We all have light inside of us. But we move outside of that. We become these things that we can't even recognize anymore. And so, of course, that leads us into the final phase, of course, is meaning and passion in life and purpose. Everybody that's ever healed that I've ever talked to, and I've talked to thousands, you know, I've personally worked with hundreds, and they all said when they healed, I want to help people with this. There's something about the human being that wants to help other people, which is really cool. Every one of them, I can't remember a single person that didn't say the same thing. I can't wait to heal. I'm going to help other people with this. So, you know, we do want to help people. We do want to be connected. And sometimes we're stuck in careers that we hate, which is another big topic.
That can cause stress. And...
Oh, yeah, you know. especially if the relationship with the boss and the coworkers is bad, and it's bad at home, then people get serious diseases because they have a bad relationship at home. They don't like themselves. They're driving themselves hard, and they hate their career. So in my book, I talked a little bit about Elaine Aron's great book called The Highly Sensitive Person. That was a great book. She identified this real narrow niche of a personality, you know, and it kind of crosses over into the type T, but not all of them there that way, not all of them. And the highly sensitive person, you know, they hate the medical atmosphere. They're afraid of it. They stay away from it, and they're trying to please people. She even said in her own seminars, she said, the hottest topic is career. Anytime she said I bring it up, every hand in the room goes up, because a certain personality type needs to be matched up with a good vocation. They're not dated. This personality doesn't do well in 9-to-5 jobs, where they're they don't feel like they're adding value and they're under the clock and all those things. She said that they just melt away. They can't take it. So, personality is it. Personality is the thing, I believe. There's even a new book out. My book is mentioned in it. It's something about the personality type of Cancer. It has its own personality type. Mm. And from what we can see, it is this TMS personality on steroids. Multiplied huge. Huge. And I have had people who healed from cancer who contacted me. I'm stage 4 cancer. Who told me your book was... Well, after I was done with it, I saw the whole world differently, completely different. It was as though his prism had changed on what was really happening now. It was almost like a new template laid over the person. And he gave me a nice statement for my new book, which is coming out, and he said, he realized he had given himself the cancer. So that would be, a form of TMS, even though the TMS physicians don't get into that a whole lot. They're focused on all the other things, but... we can see it's going to go there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not talking about things like if someone smokes for 75 years, without a break, or drinks all day every day for 60 years, you're going to wear your body out.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the majority of things here, and it's always tough to generalize because somebody may fall outside of that. So you have to be careful when you talk about health, right?
Yeah.
Health is it's kind of important to us.
Yeah.
But it's been fun. I really do like it. And I've met some of my heroes when I was a kid. Consulted with me, musical heroes of mine and Academy Award-winning actors. And yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. Because everybody has it. It's part of the human condition.
That was the phrase he used.
Yeah, human condition, which is, is true. I always say it this way. It's because we cannot express everything we want to everybody at every time. We have to shut up sometimes.
Yeah, we have different roles in life. Yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody hurts us, we smile. And we say, that didn't bother me. Oh, the hell it didn't. Now your hip's locking up on you.
Yeah.
Your hip. And I see a lot of hip pain things too, And Dr. Sofer said in his book, his TMS book, he said, I had a guy come to me. He said early 40s. He was an athlete, and his doctor, he was having hip pain. His doctor told him, listen, you need a new hip transplant. And so he didn't want to do it, of course. And so he went to see Dr. Sofer, and Dr. Sofer said, it just doesn't look that bad to me. He's 40s young, right? If you were 95, maybe we might look into it. But actually, at some point, it's too old. But he said, humor me. Get the other hip x-rayed. And he did, and the other hip looked way worse. Way worse.
Oh, my.
So the guy opened up to it after when he saw that, and he read the books on it, and he healed. Had he listened to his doctor, he would have had an unnecessary hip transplant. That's why faulty medical advice is making us worse. That's why my subtitle.
Sure.
And so as long as we look to the body for the cause, we're in trouble. We need to look to the real cause, which is almost always our relationships in our life, which are causing these powerful emotions. And of course, you need to say that the most important relationship is the one with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't love yourself, there's no way you can love anybody else.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Yes, definitely. I agree.
And then I know when I was married, I was probably a tough person to love because I was locked in that emotionless world, the alexithymic robotic world. And it's tough. You have to, because then you can learn to understand others and appreciate others and to love others. And so it's ultimately going to come down to connection. I created a word in my book called tricordify, which means to pull the other person's heart to us. I believe that's the most basic instinct of every person. We're trying to get them to us, to see our side, to love us, to feel what we're feeling in our heart. Mm-hmm. And, of course, babies do that instinctively by crying. When they need when they're scared and they're hungry, whatever they need, they cry. And they immediately
yeah.
are conditioned to realize, every time I want something, I just cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that instinctively. And so this brings them. And so let's say you get older and you have deep unmet needs and you can no longer cry because of, you know, ego, superego. We can't let people see us this way. What do? You give yourself symptoms. Nothing brings people to you more than when you're sick or in pain. You know, and it's like, all right, let me help. And that's like, I needed people all my, that whole time in my life. I need somebody. I need to be connected. And so this thing brings people to me. But it's outside of awareness. You don't realize you're even doing it at some point. But you can see it's about connection. And I will say this, too. I've been consulting for, I think, since about 2000, I would say. It's increasing every month now, but I can see it's loneliness in every person I've ever talked to, including the famous people that I've talked to, and they will admit it too. Say, oh, yeah. They can be surrounded by a million fans and still be lonely because
yeah.
that connection was never made with somebody early in their life, and they kind of won't allow other people to get to them as adults. They're guarded. And so, you know, and of course, Dr. Sarno's last book was called The Divided Mind for this very reason, you know. Part of you wants this, part of you doesn't. Part of you wants to tell people something, part of you doesn't. And so that conflict between the divisions of the mind creates, I would say, most, I have to be careful with my words, most of the physical symptoms that we experience in our life. And I've had people tell me after they read my book and healed from certain things that their lifetimes of allergies disappeared at the same time. Because an allergy is actually the immune system overreacting to the sensation, just like with everything else. And so it's a tough sell to people, but it's working virtually every time.
That is so awesome. How rewarding for you, and good for you for doing this for people and, you know, writing the books that you are and summarizing everything that Dr. Sarno, or, you know, not summarizing, but really putting it all together in a book. For people to have it all in one place and continue writing and helping people.
Well, thanks.
Well, great work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't, of course, intend to get here. I was doing a live radio show out of, I think, Lansing, Michigan, 5 o'clock hour in Lansing or something like that, and it was a quick one, a quick hitter, like 10 minutes, you know, while they're stuck in traffic, I guess. And I said, oh, I hate these 10-minute things because this is such a complex topic that when I try to soundbite it down, it sounds absurd. You know, it sounds, even to me, I know that it's true and that it's working, and it sounds crazy to me. And I said, yeah, but Steve, it's exposure. I said, okay, I'll do it. And the right off the bat, the host said, you're not a doctor. I said, nope. Are you a therapist? Nope. He goes, well, how the hell did you go from writing or being an engineer to getting a master's in finance to writing a health book? No one had ever said that to me before. I was thinking, well, I said to him, well, sometimes you choose a career and sometimes the career chooses you.
Yeah.
And I just healed from such debilitating pain that I wanted to help, just like I believe there's good in all of us. It gets lost sometimes, and sometimes it's hard for us to find, of course, but I believe that we're born with that. And I wanted to do it, and my college professors always kept telling me, you're a great writer. You write good. You write good. And I got perfect grades on writing, so I thought, you know, I like writing, so I'll do it. And so I did it, and it started working. And here I am. Here I am. I got pulled sideways into it. I wasn't kicking and screaming, but I planned on having a career in engineering and finance and moving up the corporate ladder. And there's another, you know, everybody that's healing, a lot of them are changing careers. Perhaps the best TMS physician in the country is in New Jersey. His name's Paul Gwatz. He was a chief engineer of a corporation. And he was in such debilitating pain he couldn't function anymore. So he got to New York to see Dr. Sarno, and he healed him. And Dr. Gwatz, on his 40th birthday, entered medical school.
Oh,
that
awesome.
Is such a cool story. Isn't that a cool
it
story?
It is.
I said to Dr. Gwatz, I said, you're like a folk hero. You know, somebody to have the courage at midlife to do that.
Yeah.
But become a physician, you know. And we know it takes like 10 years. Hmm. But he did it, and now he's one of the best out there. You know, it doesn't pay a ton, but he's getting more and more TMS people that, as the world realizes, wow, you know, this is a mind-body thing I have. He's getting more and more, but good man. He helps me with a lot of medical things like Dr. Sofer and Dr. Sarno. You know, he's 92 now, so he doesn't respond much anymore, but it is fun. I enjoy it. Part of my job is to keep talking to people like you who are willing to listen.
Yeah.
And if one person heals, it moves on. It moves on. You know, I had a chiropractor from Texas this week email me saying, I thought Dr. Sarna was insane.
Hmm.
And she said, and then my patients started coming in healed for these books. And she said, so I read your book, and it blew me away. And she said, now when they come in, I hand them your book. So it is working. It is working. I've had calls from three prestigious medical or pain centers around the world telling me they were blown away that their patients were walking in that they couldn't do anything for healed, and they had read the book. One of them was the University of Michigan. She said, wow. She said, I also want to thank you because my own pain, my own back pain is 90% gone because of your book. She said, we have witnessed a fundamental shift in understanding pain forever. So it's working. And I think that's the level Dr. Sarna wanted to get to, was that, you know, that institutional clinical teaching schools at that level, because that was the one, you know, his colleagues by and large didn't believe him. You know, they basically turned his back on him and kind of looked down on him. The snobby ones who do all the unnecessary procedures look down on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, that's where we're at. It's a battle for people's hearts at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether to go straight to their head or their heart at this point. You know, I think the best thing is to show my example. Read my book. Look what I had, all these health problems, and there were many serious ones. They're gone, and people with stage 4 cancer healing contacted me. One lady from Southern California had been to 25 neurologists. She was lost all kinds of weight. She couldn't work anymore. I think she was a nurse or a nurse teacher or something like that. And they told her, oh, you might have MS, you might have vasculitis, which is scary. You know, vasculitis is what the guy Harold Ramis died from. Remember Harold Ramis?
No.
He directed Groundhog Day, and he directed Caddyshack Ghostbusters. He was one of my favorites. But they told her she had all these neurological, you know, serious things. Well, she was devastated. She found my book, and she healed. And she gave me a beautiful video testimonial that I'm going to put up soon on YouTube. I'm stringing a bunch of them together as examples because I think that's my job, is to show the examples.
Yeah. Yeah.
People that are
healing. Yeah, because then people can relate to it. Well, we're going to wrap up, Steve. So thank you so much. And Steve's book you can find on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it's The Great Pain Deception. And it's Steve. And then I'll spell the last name. It's Ozanich. It's Ozanich. So thank you so much, Steve. This has been wonderful to hear this, and I hope everybody's got an open mind out there, the people that really want to get better with whatever it is that might be ailing you, that this is another option for you and the option for you, a great option, maybe I should say, for you to be able to heal. So thank you, Steve.
Well said. Thanks, Jody, for the opportunity.
Okay.
And
Just
let me know when everything happens.
Okay, I will. Okay. All right, bye, everyone.